Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Turning Readers into Writers. And today is the last part of our little mini-series all about story structure. This week we are going to be looking at the 7-point story structure. It's not as commonly used, but it's still out there and it can still be very beneficial for your storytelling. So let's dive in. Welcome to the Turning Readers into Writers podcast, where we teach beginner writers how to find the time and the confidence to write their first novel. I'm your host, Emma Desi, and I'm very excited that you're here. Thank you for joining me today, because if you've been longing to write your novel for forever, then this is the place to be. Think of this as your weekly dose of encouragement, of hand-holding and general cheerleading as you figure out how you're going to write your first novel. Trust me, as a mum of 3 young kids, I know how tricky it can be to tuck some time aside for yourself on a regular basis. And even when you do find that spare 5 minutes, you can feel so overwhelmed that no writing gets done. Trust me, I have been there, but this podcast is going to help you in practical ways, because once a week I'll be delivering an episode that gives you steps to building a writing routine, encouragement to build your confidence, and cheerleading until you reach the end. Okay, let's start. Hi, so here we are again, part 3 of our story structure mini-series. And just to remind you about what story structure is, the structure of your story is the framework upon which you're going to write your novel. The structure is what gives your story its backbone, and it is the set of rules upon which you're going to build your story so that it resonates with your readers, it's drawing them in, and it is keeping their attention right until the very end. So as a recap, in part 1, we looked at the 3-act structure. It's the oldest and the most commonly used structure. It's a really nice and simple one and is the one I teach my students. And in that article, we used a hypothetical storyline as an example. Last time, part 2, we looked at the 12 steps of Joseph Campbell's The Hero's Journey. And in that one, we used The Lord of the Rings by J.R.R. Tolkien as our example. And this week in part 3, we're going to be learning about the 7-point story structure, which was developed by Dan Wells. And this week in this article or this podcast, we're going to be using Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone as our example piece of work. So as you can imagine, the 7-point story structure is so named because it comprises 7 important elements that will build out your novel's story arc. So let's start at the beginning. Point 1. Point 1 is the hook of the story. So this is, I just thought I'd point out, the hook and the inciting incident, these are 2 separate things, and I believe some people can get a little bit unclear about which one is which. Your hook is the starting point of your book. It's where your reader is going to enter the story. This is where your reader is learning about your character, your hero's normal life, the ordinary world in which they live. And this is the world that is the total opposite of where they're going to end up at the end of the story. So it's where you meet where your audience meets your hero. It's their normal world. It's them in a life that they want to keep. They're quite happy with the way things are. Your inciting incident happens a little bit later on in the sort of about 10% into your story. And it's something that kicks your hero out of that normal world and into the storyline. So the inciting incident and the hook are 2 separate things. So the hook, point 1 in Harry Potter is, you know, we start off with Harry seeing that he's an abused and an isolated boy who feels like he's got no place in the world. And as we know, that is not where he's going to end up in the story. So we see him in point one, the hook of the story, living under the stairs, feeling very lonely, very miserable, being bullied by his cousin and really abused by his aunt and uncle. We then move on to point two. Point two is the first plot point. So this is what some people would call the inciting incident. It's the event that is kicking your story into motion, and it's the event that is sort of beginning your hero's journey through to the midpoint of the novel. So here you're looking to inflict a little pain on your protagonist, because this is going to make life difficult for them. This is what's going to force them out of the normal life that we mentioned before and into the storyline. So for Harry, this is when he learns that he, in fact, is a wizard, and he enters Hogwarts. So he learns, you know, he's entering the school and is going to become, learn how to be a wizard. So point three is also called the pinch point one. So this pinch point is where you're going to be really mean to your hero. You want something to happen to them that is really going to force them out of their comfort zone, really challenge them on what they think they're capable of and what they can achieve. And the usual way that this is done is when you bring them face to face with their antagonist, with their nemesis. So in Harry Potter, he comes face to face with a troll whom he and his friends defeat. So that would be forcing them into a difficult situation there. Point four is the midpoint. So up until now, your character has really not wanted to be on this journey. They've been sort of reluctantly taking part, and they've been reacting to what's going on as things arise. So as life has thrown stuff at them, then they've been accepting it. But at the midpoint, this kind of changes. This is when they switch from being reactive to being proactive in their own life. So if you think about Harry Potter, his life has kind of just been plodding on in this miserable way. Then suddenly he's told he's a wizard. Suddenly he's flown into this, you know, thrown onto this train and sent to Hogwarts. And he's just been going along with it, going along with the ride, not really having an opinion about it one way or another. It's just that surely Hogwarts is going to be better than the life he was living before. But now when they reach this midpoint, they have stopped just kind of reacting to what's going on. Now they're being very much proactive, and they've come to a point where they realise that they've got to defeat their nemesis, and that they've got to ramp things up a notch. So one thing to bear in mind is that even though this point is called the midpoint, it's not necessarily taking place actually in the middle of your story. So a good example might be, you know, a detective story, a crime story, and the detective decides that they are going to take the case on. That generally happens earlier in the story. In a romance, it might be later on in the book, you know, towards the end, when the girl realizes that the male friend she's got really is the love of her life, and that's when she decides to make a play for him. So for Harry Potter, it's when he realizes that Voldemort is after the Philosopher's Stone, and he knows it's up to him to protect it as best he can. This leads us on to point five, which is pinch point two. So now you're going to add even more pressure to your character, and you're going to push them right to the bottom. You want to make them hit their rock bottom. You want them to experience their darkest moments, their lowest ebb, a point where they feel that they've lost everything. And it's going to be really hard for them to pick themselves up and just carry on with the journey. Even though they know they've got to do it, they're finding it really hard. They've got to dig deeper than they've ever done before. And so for Harry, this is when Ron and Hermione they get trapped, and they can't carry on with Harry in his journey. They can't go on with him, and he's got to go on and face Voldemort alone. That, as you can imagine, is a very low moment for Harry, not something that many of us would want to do. And now we move on to plot point six. So this is the second plot point. So They hit that low moment, but then finally they realise, yes, they have what it takes to defeat their antagonist. They know they've got what it takes, and sort of everything slots into place finally, and they are ready to achieve their goal. So now what they've got to do is they've got to put their plan into action. So this second plot point for Harry, this is when he looks into the magic mirror and he realizes that he has a pure heart, a heart that is pure enough that he can defeat Voldemort. And that's when he realizes he's got what he needs and it's time to move on and put the plan into action. So that is point seven, which is the resolution. This is the climax of the story. This is when your character defeats their antagonist and they, yay, they win the day. Now, one thing to bear in mind here, and this is the same for all three story structures. It might be that your character doesn't get what they want, but they get what they need. So, for example, your hero might not find the treasure that they seek, but they do discover this inner strength that they never knew they had, or they discover they've actually got a good heart when really they thought they were, you know, a dark blackguard of a pirate, something like that. So in our Harry Potter example, you know, not only does Harry defeat Voldemort, but he's transformed from being that lonely, abused boy under the stairs to someone who has friends, who has earned respect, who has a place at the school and has a purpose in life. He's discovered things about himself that are wonderful that he never would have envisaged at the very beginning of this story. Just something to add in about this particular story structure. I've never used this structure. I confess it's not one of my favourites, but people who have used it, they recommend that to ensure that you get that full transformation, that you start from the resolution and you work backwards to point one. So start with point seven and move backwards to point one. And that's kind of thought to be the most effective way of doing it with this 7-point story structure. It's thought that if you do it that way, then, yep, you're ensuring that not only do you get a complete story arc, but you're also getting a great character arc as well. So that in itself has to be one reason to at least consider using this 7-point story arc. So I can see why others would find it useful just to ensure they're getting that. That's that character arc as well. And the other thing about it is there's not quite so many steps to follow, you know, as in the hero's journey, but it does get give a little bit more direction, say, than in the three act structure. But kind of to conclude, really, I wonder if you've noticed, if you've listened to all three of this little mini series, all three episodes, you may well have noticed that all three of these structures, they all intertwine, and you can apply almost every story to any one of them. And what this is telling you is that there's no one structure that's correct. It's whatever appeals to you. You know, different systems, different ways of thinking about your story appeal to different people and how different people's minds work. So, you know, if this three-act structure makes perfect sense to you, then go with that. But if you resonate really well with the hero's journey, then that's the structure that you should use. And, you know, it does seem too that different genres of story do fit comfortably within these three different story structures. So, you know, a three-act structure might sit well with literary fiction, more kind of commercial fiction as well. But your hero's journey, that works really well with fantasy. And then you can see how the 7-point story structure would work very well with young adult as well. So which one of the three resonates best with you? Or do you use a story structure that we haven't covered in this 3-part series? What's one that works well for you? Do share with us. Let me know at emma@emmadesi.com. Have you been using one method up to now, but now you're intrigued to try one of the others? Again, let me know how it's impacted you and what it's made you think about. So there we go. We have come to the end of our 3 parts of this mini series, looking at the 7-point story structure. Point one is the hook. Point two is your first plot point, where you kick the story into motion. Point three is the pinch point one, where you do something really, really mean to your hero, make something bad happen to them. Point four is the midpoint. This is where your character stops being reactive to what's happening to them and starts being proactive in the journey that's happening. Point five is pinch point two. So again, you're adding more pressure to your character. You make them hit rock bottom, get them to their lowest ebb. Point six is the second plot point. This is where your character makes the turn. They realise, I've hit rock bottom, but now I know what I need to do to put my plan into action. And then point seven is the resolution, the climax of their story, where your character defeats the antagonist and wins the day. So I hope these have been useful. Please do let me know. And I look forward to speaking to you again next time. All right, take care. Bye-bye. Just before you disappear, I wanted to remind you about my Facebook group called Turning Readers into Writers. There you will find even more inspiration, education, hints and tips, as well as a weekly live Q&A session. And we also bring some guest experts to come in and chat to you about all manner of topics, whatever it is that you need to hear. Go to emmadesi.com/turningreadersintowriters, or you can go to Facebook and search directly, Turning Readers into Writers. So come on over. If you are looking for some support and some cheerleading, this will be the group for you. So I look forward to welcoming you in. Take care.